today I want to talk to you about joy. And the title of my message today is The Good News. Everybody say good news. Of great joy. Of great joy for all people. The good news of great joy for all people. God is a God of good news. Everybody say good news. Don't pay attention to people that are always feeding you bad news. Pay attention to the good news. And if you're a disciple, one of the first things we have to learn how to do is confess good news and not bad news. We need to let the words of our mouth be good. And when you have good news, you will have great joy. Everybody say great joy. Now, good is good, but great is greater. Think about that. So when you get good news from God, you're going to get great joy. Everybody say great joy. Now, you don't say it like this. You don't go great, great joy. It's great joy. Great joy. Great means mega, mega joy. God wants us to have mega joy, not just a little tickle, but a guffaw. You know what a guffaw means? Ha, 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 ha. That's a guffaw. You know anybody that guffaws? I know some guffawing people, but some people just chortle. No, this is not a chortle joy. This is not a snicker. You know what a snicker is? Not just a candy bar. It's like, no, we're not talking about a snicker joy. We're talking about a guffaw, a bellow kind of joy. Ha, ha, ha. Praise God. Santa Claus doesn't go, Merry Christmas, does he? Come on. He gives the laugh that is ho, ho, ho. It's a great joy laugh, and Christians ought to be running around with the guffaw and not a snicker. Sorry, guys. Come on, I'm going to challenge you today. All right, you're going to need a healing service. Ryan's going to lead a healing service for your toes at the end of this service. Because I'm going to step on them a little bit. If you hear a little crunch, that's okay. Just say amen. But it's time, God's people, get some great joy because we've got some good news. We've got some good. Thank you, Don. God bless you, brother. We've got some good news. Amen. We want some amen over here, too. Okay. Praise God. We like this side, too. Why? Because it's Jesus. It's all about him. Now, I want to show you the reality of the birth of Christ and how the Lord shows it. It's not like when Jesus was born, people were like taking it like, okay, all right, that's cool. They don't do that. They're not like subtle about it. They are like honking their horns for goodness. If the shepherds were announced to the shepherds today, they would be driving, right? They'd be driving four-wheel drives out there, right? Taking care of their sheep. They'd be honking their horns for joy, making a loud noise. They wouldn't just be going, well, this is cool. All right, well, let's just downplay it. So we're going to start in three places. We're going to have joy in the church. Everybody say joy in the church. Joy in the house. Joy in the house. And joy in the fields. And we're going to see joy in all three places in the book of Luke. Now, the church is really the temple, right? But the church is the temple of the living God, isn't it? Right? We are the temple, and as we gather, we are the church. And so the first scene that Luke wants to show you about the great joy is in chapter 1, verse 10. And it's all about Zechariah and how they were praying and seeking the Lord in the temple. And all these people were praying. It was a time of prayer. They had gathered for prayer, and they were seeking the Lord's face. And while they were praying outside, God was doing something on the inside. Praise God. Praise God. When you do something on the outside with God, God will start doing something on the inside of you, or the inside of where it really needs to happen, which is inside the house of God. And so in verse 10, it says, the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. Praise God. The time of offering up the sweet incense, because that's what you associate with prayer. You associate the beautiful smell of incense that goes to heaven. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. Now, I don't know if that means he was next to the altar of incense, or if he was literally standing on top of the altar of incense on the right side. I don't know, but I think it's very significant that Luke wants to tell you which side of the altar the angel was standing on. Which side was he standing on? He was standing on the right side. And I believe that when you hear about that right side, the right hand, that right hand is the place where stuff happens with God. That's where when you had the king and he was seated on the throne and he had something to do and tell somebody what to do, he looked to his right and said, go for it and do it. And so this angel was on the right side of the altar of prayer, the right side. God will give you an angel as an answer to your prayer because he's on the right side of that prayer altar. And when you pray, God is going to send an answer. Angels are the represent the answers of God. Let me say that again. When angels are sent, it means that God has heard your prayer and that he is going to send the answer to you. That's when angels come right here. He says, what does he say? Zechariah was troubled. There's Joseph was troubled, right? He was troubled. What was going on with Mary? Now Zechariah is troubled and he's like, what's going on here? But what does the angel tell him? Don't be afraid. What does he tell him? Come on. What does he tell him? Your prayer has been heard. Your prayer has been heard. The angel is the way God tells you that your prayer has been heard. I'll tell you what, that makes me excited. That makes me happy because I'm living here on this earth right here. My feet are touching the ground. It's nice to know that my voice is heard in heaven and your voice is heard in heaven too. Somebody should get excited about that. Somebody should have some joy about that, that you can pray a prayer while walking on the ground here at this church or wherever you are in your house. But we're talking about the house of God right now, that when you set your feet on the ground here and you offer up prayer in this place, God will hear you in heaven and send angels to come. As a matter of fact, somebody brought it up in the prayer meeting today about God sending angels as answers to prayers, right? We've had angelic appearances where people actually saw the angels that were here. I mean, angels are here a lot more than you know. Let me say that. They're here a lot more than you know, but you don't always see them. And I'm praying that God will open up your eyes to see when God sends the answers. Because they come in answer to prayer. Those angels that came back in 2000, they came in answers to prayer. I know, because we were praying a whole lot here, and they came. Listen, and it says, the angel said, don't be afraid, your prayer has been heard, because I'm standing on the right side of the altar. Praise God. That's just the message right there, but we'll go on. He says, your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And what is the first thing he wants to tell you about John? Glory to God. The first thing about my message is get happy. Get happy. Get happy. You're going to get a reason to get happy in your life. You're going to get a reason to have great joy, not just a little bit. You're going to get a reason to be jumping, running, shouting, singing for joy. That's what I'm telling you. I've never been like this until Jesus came into my life. Let me tell you, I was a whole lot quieter Christian before I met Jesus and got filled with the Holy Ghost. I was a whole lot quieter. I was louder about a whole lot of other stuff. I was loud, but not about Jesus. Oh, boy. Oh, there's one toe right there. I know some of you. I know some of you aren't quiet all the time. I know some of you get very excited about some things. Oh, ow. Okay. Now, it says that Number one, people will be happy. Number two, he's going to be a Nazarite and not eat grapes or drink strong drink. And number three, he'll be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. Praise God. That is the joy of the Lord. Now we're going to find out what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. The first sign we're going to show you, Luke says, okay, just so you know what it looks like to be filled with the Holy Spirit, I'm going to show you in the life of John even before he's born. Glory to God. How much it matters to God. Let's see what the filling of the Holy Spirit looks like in John's life before he's born. So, second thing, the first place is joy in the temple or joy in the house of God. Joy in the church. The church should be the greatest place of joy. Why? You've been praying and God sent your answer and that angel's standing on the right side of the altar. That means you're going to get your answer. Praise God. Now, number two, joy in the house. Everybody say joy in the house. All right, Mary heard what the angel had happened with her relative. She was told by the angel that visited her, Gabriel. He told her, by the way, in verse 39 of Luke chapter 1, we'll go on what she did, but she heard, he says, your relative Elizabeth, who shouldn't be having kids, is pregnant with a child. And so what did Mary do? She ran with haste, verse 39, into the hill country to a town in Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And look what happened. When Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the Holy Spirit was in John. And so what happened? What did he do? He jumped for joy. Whoa. Sorry about that. All right, we'll fix that later. Sorry. Didn't mean to do that. All right. He jumped for joy inside the womb. And let me tell you, Elizabeth knew it. Babies can do a whole lot less and make the mommy know. And she knew something was different. That word skirtao means to jump. It literally means to rejoice. Agaleo, Greek. I can give you the Greek words. The word agaleo means to go, oh, whoa! That's what rejoice means. In Greek and Hebrew, it means to do something happy. So, the very first example in the gospel of the filling of the Holy Spirit, what do you see? Jumping for joy before you're even born. So why can't Christians do it today? Why can't we do it? Yes, we need to do it. Jump. There used to be a song about that, but anyway, I won't go there. All right. Wow. And what happened to Elizabeth? John jumped. Elizabeth gets filled with the Holy Spirit instead of going, ow. she might have felt ow, but she was filled with the Holy Spirit. And what did she do? She said, oh, by the way, something happened in my belly. And I don't know why, but what did she do? Did she say something? It says that she, filled with the Holy Spirit, exclaimed with a loud voice, Elizabeth, you! Elizabeth, you! No more Elizabeths in here. What is it? What did she say? So she didn't say, blessed are you among women. Now, I used to direct theater shows. All right, what would I be telling the actors to do? Elizabeth would jump up and go, blessed are you among women! Right? With a loud voice. Not just like, wow, I feel the Holy Spirit. I'm just going to sit down now. Can you sit when you're really full of the Holy Spirit? Sometimes I can't. Sometimes I can't stand. Now that happens. But that's all right. But there's sometimes when the Holy Spirit comes and you got to do something. I'm going to do something. I don't care what's here, what's happened here. I don't care what anybody thinks of me. That's another thing right there. We don't want to go there yet. Okay. So it says, she's shouting this. And blessed is the fruit of your womb. Why is this granted me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, I believe when God says behold, he doesn't say behold quietly. Behold, look, look, look. If something cool were happening, right? And you were going by and something cool were happening, like a cow was in a tree singing like a bird, you'd say, wow, look at that, look at that, look at that, stop, 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 stop. Wouldn't you? This is amazing. Behold, look, look, you won't believe me if you don't look. And that's what they're saying. They're saying, look, because it's hard to believe unless you see this thing right now. It's a miracle. It's a sign. It's a wonder. Blessed are you among women. And why this, for when, behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. Jumped for joy. Jumped for joy. The baby did not just say, praise the Lord. The baby jumped. Why? It couldn't really talk a whole lot in all that amniotic fluid. Right? So the baby could do what it could do for praising God. That makes sense, doesn't it? Yeah. The first manifestation of the filling of the Holy Spirit is joy. We prayed for one friend of mine in college, and all he could do was laugh when the Spirit of God came on him. That's all he did. And he was a straight-laced, not manifesting kind of guy. He was not raised in Pentecostalism. He was raised in, Presbyterian, whatever, West Virginia, just proper, really. So what did he do? He laughed solid for 30 minutes, not stopping, not stopping. Why? And he was on the ground. After a while, he just fell down, flopped down, and just started laughing. It was the Holy Spirit filling him. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Why do we have to just put up with not having the joy of the Lord? All you guys are so solid. You know that you love Jesus, right? But there's pressure of the world around you to behave and be quiet. A lot of pressure there. A lot of pressure. Oh, well, that's just not my personality. I'm an introvert. What in the world has that got to do with anything? If the Holy Ghost is on you, you just praise God. Don't make excuses. The devil will give you so many excuses for not doing what he wants you to do, what God wants you to do. They're just excuses. Well, I'm just an introvert. Well, jump then. Introverts can jump, right? Jump quietly. They don't have to talk to jump, right? Introverts don't have to talk to do this. In the corner. Behind a tree. Glory! You know what I love about this place? I'm telling you, I love about this place. I can walk outside any time of the day or night, and I do it. It's a little secret of mine. I don't think anybody's, maybe Ronnie's heard me. I will go out any time, and I'll start shouting and speaking in tongues and shouting praise to God, and I can hear it echo all around because there isn't anybody here at least 3-4 miles away. Now the jail's closer, and if they hear it, that's fine with me. And I love it. I don't have to worry about waking anybody up. I don't have to worry about messing. But you know what? We're in this crowded environment. You feel like you can't be crazy and wild. Oh, I'm going to bother the neighbors. So what? I'm glad we live up here. We can make as much noise as we can. As a matter of fact, the golfers used to complain about this church because we were so rowdy on Sunday mornings. Because, you know, the golf Sunday morning was like the golf day. Well, we were serenading them from here. Amen. Come on. Come on. That's who we are. That is who we are in God. Praise God. All right, I'm going to keep going here. So what happens to Mary? What happens to Mary? So here's what happens. John jumps. Mary just says hi. John rejoices by jumping because he can't talk because he's in amniotic fluid. Mary gets kicked by the baby and gets filled with the Holy Spirit, and she starts shouting shouting, glory to God, praise you, Lord, thank you, Jesus. And then Mary goes, my soul magnifies the Lord. Think about it. It all started with a baby kicking in the womb. Glory to God.
Woo!
Wouldn't that be cool? Wouldn't that be cool? Walk into church one day. Next thing you know, ah, thank you, Jesus. Everybody, woo, glory to God. My soul, she starts prophesying. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices. Magnify means big. It means big. That means that whatever God is to somebody, you make it bigger. Right? That's what magnify is. When I have trouble, nowadays, a little more trouble than I used to, seeing some very little, what do? Pull out. Either reading glasses or in some cases a magnifying glass. God has called you and me to make God bigger for other people that cannot see him. All they see is a little speck. That's all they have of God. But what happens when you share your testimony and you praise God around people? What does it do? It makes God bigger for them that they have to notice it. They need to see Jesus. And they won't see Jesus because he's just a little speck to them. And you have to magnify the Lord. And then that will cause them to face Jesus. And they can't get around it because he's magnified. Amen. That's an application there that should make us all want to go out and just make a joyful noise. So, last but not least. Oh, by the way, I think it's really interesting that Mary's soul magnified the Lord and her spirit rejoiced. So that magnification is something that is on the inside that causes us to do something on the outside. She's not just doing it because that's what you do when a baby leaps in your womb. Right? I mean, you've never been taught in church that every time a baby leaps in your womb, you should praise God? See what I'm saying? She wasn't following a tradition of man. Hear what I'm saying? She was being empowered by the Holy Spirit. And if the Holy Spirit leads you to praise him, I'm telling you, he's not going to have you do it like, quiet. I'm just telling you. He will tell you to do it loud. Now, the question is, wait a minute. We'll wait later. Okay. Now, last but not least, joy in the field. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. Now we go on to the third example of joy. First example of joy was joy in the temple. Right? Joy in church. Place to be happy. Number two, joy in the house. Number three, joy in the field. And there were shepherds in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. Guys, I want you to identify with a shepherd right now. And I'm telling you why. I think you're all shepherds. Just turn your name and say, you're a shepherd. You just didn't know. All right. What do shepherds do? They watch. Yeah, they heard. Yeah, they heard the sheep. They watch over the sheep, which are innocent and very easy prey to bad things and bad people. You as a Christian, and I want you to hear me on this. You as a Christian are shepherds because you are surrounded with very dumb sheep who don't know Jesus. And they are very vulnerable to all kinds of evil. They just don't know. They don't get it. They think they can take drugs and it's okay. They think that they can get drunk and it's okay. They think that it's okay to cuss. They think it's okay to, to do stupid stuff. And you see people do stupid stuff all the time. And they're like sheep. Jesus looked at people like sheep that have gone astray. They're astray. They don't know how to hang with the flock, right? They get isolated, and the wolf is just there ready to have sheep stew. He's just ready. People are ignorant. They're weak. They're just not that clever. Now, there are going to be some goat people around you too, and that's a different kind of person, okay? But God sees the world as sheep people. Most of them are sheep people, and they need the Lord. They just don't know. I was really dumb about God when I was growing up, before I got saved. I was stupid. I was easily led astray. I did a lot of dumb stuff. I'm not going to tell you about it because it's not worth it. But I did some really dumb stuff. Why? I just had a sheep brain. And God wanted to take that. He wanted to take the brain of a sheep out of me and put the brain of the shepherd, the good shepherd. I now have the mind of the good shepherd, Jesus. And you are sheep abiding in the field. There are people out there that are around you, and you're keeping watch over them, aren't you? There are people that you're praying for. There are people that you care about. There are people that you don't want to see get even more messed up. You want to see them safe. And so what happens? It says they're doing the prayer watch, okay? They're in watch. Now, the angel of the Lord comes to them, and the glory of the Lord shines round about them. So when the angel comes, when the presence of God comes, there is presence, there's glory, there's praise. It says that the glory was like a light shining. So God will often come. Sometimes he'll come in a visual way where there's a sense of light in the midst of the night, of the darkness. We get light. And they were afraid. They begin to say, wait a minute. This is something I don't know about. And then what happens? The angel said to them, fear not, I bring you good news of great joy. What's the first thing that follows the good news? Great joy for everyone. Everyone. That means don't keep it to yourself. They're telling the shepherds, this is for everybody, for unto you. Everybody say unto you. Unto you shall be, it was born. Who is Christ born to? You and me. Unto you, shepherds, is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. I'm giving you a sign. This Jesus is for you. You're kind of like witnessing. You could use this as a way to witness to an unbeliever. Look, Jesus has been born. Unto you has been born in the city of David, a Savior. Unto you. Unto you, unto you, unto you. You all have Jesus was born for you. This is a great way to lead someone to Christ in Christmas message. This Savior is for you. This is why Jesus came on the earth. He came for you. He came for you and me. That's why Jesus came. That's what he says right here. The reason why Jesus came is for you. That is not selfish, guys. It's the reality of the truth. That's the only reason why he came. He says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Where were the world? God so loved us that he gave us his son that we could believe and have eternal life. That's the good news. He loves us and he sent his son for us. Wow. And then he says, he's Christ the Lord, and this will be a sign for you. You'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. But look what happens. The moment the angel finishes his message, the first thing that comes is glory. The same thing. It's same. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God. Woo! What were they singing? They're saying, I think they were doing both. Glory to God in the highest and on earth peace among those who is pleased. Peace, glory, praise. Praise immediately comes when Jesus comes. Praise comes when Jesus comes. And then they say, let's see this thing. And they ran. They found Mary and they worshiped the Lord. They saw it and they made known the saying. They told everybody about what they experienced. And it says that Mary treasured these things and pondered in her heart. Amen. And then it says the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God. They began, listen, when Jesus came, the shepherds began a life of praise. They began a life of glory. They were transformed. They were changed into a worshiping, praising machine, if you will, that just keeps running, never loses power. That means you praise Him in the morning. You praise Him in the evening. You praise Him in the new time. When do you stop praising God? Never. Whenever you pray, you always give what? Thanks. Always give thanks. You never pray with an unpraising attitude. That's so important. That means your prayers are God-centered and not demon-centered. That means they're God-centered and not world-centered. I get in some prayer meetings, and all they do is tell you all about how horrible the world is, and by the way, Lord, change it. No! Don't do it. Don't confess what the world is doing. Confess what God is doing. Make Him your focus. Make Him your focus. Luke chapter 10, I don't think I put this on there, but in Luke chapter 10, verse 17, Jesus sent the 72 out. Luke 10, 17, Jesus sent the 72 out to preach. He said, go and preach. And so they went out. And what did they do? In verse 17, it says they came back with what? Joy. They came back with joy. They came back with joy. Anytime you do what God tells you to do, you're going to get happy. They came back with joy and they said, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And guess what Jesus said? Don't get happy about the demons. Get happy about heaven. Get your focus off the demons and get your focus on heaven. Get it on Him. Jesus said, don't get your focus. Don't get happy about casting out demons. Get happy about who you are. It says, rejoice that your names are written in heaven. He rebuked them for the wrong kind of joy, the wrong misplaced joy. Let your joy be what? In the Lord. In the Lord. Not in your accomplishment. Not in what you can do. Don't magnify the devil. Woo! Don't rejoice in this that the spirits... And then what did Jesus do after that? He rejoiced in the Holy Spirit. How did you know He rejoiced in the Holy Spirit? You think Jesus stood there? No. I'll tell you, they don't say. Luke doesn't say how He did, which is fine. That means you can put it however you want to do it. He might have shouted it. He might have said, okay, because rejoicing means to praise God, right? So it means to jump. You can jump for joy, or you can shout, or you can dance, or whatever. But He could have been dancing. Come on, somebody say amen. He could have been. He could have said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. He could have been dancing. They would have said, well, you know, He's rejoicing in the Holy Spirit because I know the way He dances, that He doesn't like to dance. All right, or how about this? He could have said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. He could have been doing that. Or he could have been shouting, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. Could have been doing it all. The Hebrew word for praise is yada. It means to throw your hands out. It's not like this. It's like, whoa, yada. Yada, yada, praise the Lord. You know, I never, ever praised the Lord in church until I was filled with the Holy Spirit. Never like this. If I did this in church before then, they would have thought I had a question. Like, do you have a question? No. No, I've got the answer. Glory to God. Woo! I've got the answer. See, in church, you raise your hand because you have the answer. We got to find another way to ask questions in church. Because we praise God because we know. And what did Jesus say? He rejoiced because you revealed them to your children. What was the focus of Christ? Not that the demons were fleeing. The focus was that he was revealing the power of God to his children. I'm rejoicing in the power of God when I see healing. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Because why? Because this Son of God saw God use them in a powerful way and reveal them. And here they are preaching and praying and prophesying and bringing forth the power and the miracle of God. That's what I want to see. That's what I want to care about. That's what motivates me. I want to see God be moved in a place. I want to see the Lord show how much people love him and how much he loves them. That's what I want to see. That drives me. That motivates me. That causes me to praise him. Amen. And this Christmas season, I'm praying that God's going to use us. God's going to use us like Elizabeth shouting and prophesying in the house. Come on. Come on. She's going to be shouting and prophesying and getting married to sing a song of joy. Right? I want God to use us. Like they were in Zechariah's temple. When the angel comes and praise God, there it says, fear not. You know, you're going to have a son. And, you know, Zechariah messed up because he started asking a whole bunch of questions. Okay, but I don't want to preach on that today. And then I want us to be like the shepherds. They were set on fire for God out in that field. They were so excited. They began to tell everybody and shout. And I want you to see that the whole Christmas story is full of praise, is full of joy, is full of shouting, is full of laughter, is full of grace and power and might. I don't want us to be subtle about Christmas. I don't want us to be like, well, you know, I want us to be joyful, happy, shouting, laughter. Turn the music up. Turn the Christmas music up in your car. Do whatever it takes, whatever it is, to be loud about it, to be expressive about it, to throw your hands up, to get active in God. Amen. I just want this church to be like a light, and I want this light to shine so brightly that people will come here and they'll just go, wow, this place is full of praise.